So this is, I'm now at Wisconsin, and this is work that I've been doing with Professor John List at the University of Chicago and all around the Chicago area. So I don't have anything to disclose. And our motivation is the need to address decision-making by children and adolescents when it comes to food choices. So we know that the tendency to consume an unhealthy diet is learned at a young age. Lack of proper nourishment, especially not meeting requirements for fruits and vegetables, can affect health substantially. We have a very high level of BMI among the nation's children today, and children from low-income families are at a higher risk. But the main motivation here is that the lunchroom or other USDA-sponsored food programs can provide a teachable moment where children will be consuming food outside of the home on a regular basis, and there's some time there where we can potentially put in some kind of behavioral intervention to try to make a change in the food selection and consumption habits of children and adolescents. So we're looking at a behavioral approach where we have a few different behavioral interventions we're looking at. So the first is incentives. We know that incentives can motivate behavior change. There's been work in shifting health behavior in adults with weight loss and smoking cessation, and now we have some work looking at children and food choice as well. Some of that work is Joe's work as well. And we also are going to look at gain and loss framing. So according to this psychologist model of loss aversions, if we frame incentives as losses rather than framing them as gains, we might get a more powerful effect of incentives. And we want to look at long-term impact as well. So in the short-term, incentives work really well. In the long-term, there's some speculation of a negative rebound effect, but also some work by economists suggesting that the proper types of interventions could actually induce habit formation. So we want to try to understand that as well in the domain of child food choice. Finally, educational messages. So health education is really important. Can we deliver health education in a really short kind of package during this teachable moment of the lunchroom? And what we're going to do is look at all four of these things. So we're going to run a large-scale field experiment. We're going to randomize some sites to receive some incentives to eat healthier foods. Some sites will receive gain and loss framing. And some sites will be longer-term sites, so we'll be running the intervention somewhat longer than other sites. And finally, an education component will be introduced at some sites. And the sites I'm talking about is actually this Kids Cafe program. It's an after-school program in low-income areas all around Chicago, including the suburbs, that is made possible through the USDA and also the Greater Chicago Food Depository. The majority of children in these areas are eligible for the free or reduced school lunch program. That's a high minority, low-income areas that these after-school programs are located in. And the sites could be at schools, community centers, or churches. And this Kids Cafe, essentially after school, you have an opportunity to come in, get some help on your homework, do some other kinds of activities, crafts, and so on, depending on the site. But most importantly, you get served another school meal. And we had 1,600 separate participants, ages 6 to 18, across 24 different sites around Chicago. Most of them were ages 9 to 13. And these kids visit the sites daily on weekdays. They may visit several times a week, or they may visit sporadically. And we actually learned this a little bit into the study in that we weren't getting the same kids coming in every day. So our long-term results are going to be slightly problematic due to the sporadic visits here. So we ran the study at the end of 2011 in February and March, and another phase in April through May. We had 3 to 6 experimenters who visited twice a week, and we asked children to choose between one cookie or one dried fruit cup. So that was our selection. And we decided to look at the choice of fruit because in a pre-study survey, we find that the percentage of children meeting the RDA for fruit in these areas was the lowest of all the other food groups. So only 30% of children were meeting the RDA for fruit. And most importantly, 70% of children in a food recall study had not even consumed fruit in the last 24 hours. So here's how the on-site procedures went. So after the meal was served, children would make a selection between a cookie or a fruit. And there was a standard message. At least one of each is always going to be available. We show it to you on a tray. You can only choose one. You can't share it, and you should eat it on site, so you can't take it with you. And the site couldn't keep the remaining desserts to serve on other days, so we really didn't want kids to be choosing fruit knowing that they could get a cookie later. So we instructed all the sites to use the leftover materials for other programs they might be running. So there were some adult programs, other types of programs this community center was running, and they used those leftovers for those types of things. And then the experimenter would read a treatment-specific message if there was one. And then we would record the child's ID number so we could link them over time, their choice, and then their consumption. So this is what these treatments looked like. So we had a short study session where we came twice a week for five times total. And we came first, we ran a baseline. So we just said, do you want a cookie or do you want a fruit? And we recorded at that site the levels of participation. Then we had a treatment day followed by three baseline days. So again, the three baseline days, we just asked again, cookie versus fruit, and that was to look at our long-term effects. In the long study session, it was almost the same, except this time we had the treatment five times in a row, so we could try to see whether we can get some habit formation. And we didn't have the funding to do this for longer periods of time. I think longer would be better, but this is just the first stab at it. So baseline is just your choice of fruit cup or cookie. So children in baseline here, there's 116 participants, they just, for these T days, received cookie or fruit for the duration of the study. Then we have this gain and loss incentives, where they're getting a prize for eating the fruit versus the cookie. We have an educational message incentive where, rather than getting an incentive, they just get an educational message about the importance of fruit. And finally, a combination treatment where we took this loss incentive, which we expected to be the strongest incentive, and combined it with the education. And we have some short and long-term study results for all of these participants here. So we're going to be comparing incentive to baseline. We're going to compare gain and loss. Education versus education with incentives, and then education versus incentives. So we can compare all of these different treatments. So here's what the incentive looked like. So if you choose a dry fruit cup and you eat all of it today, so we're tying the incentive to the consumption, then you'll get to pick a gift immediately after you finish eating, and you can choose one of these gifts. And we had really low cost gifts. So we had these are fruit keychains and little pens and wristbands and little rubber duckies and fruit colors. So they were all under 20 cents each at our wholesaler. And they could choose any one of those. And they're all different colors so that the kids in the long-term treatment could actually collect all five in different colors if they wanted to do that. We thought hard about these things. So the last frame, and I was surprised that we were allowed to do this, but we were. So before you choose a dessert, you should come up and pick a gift, and you could choose one of the gifts. So we required everybody to pick a gift. We put the gift in a closed, clear box with your name on it. You get to take it back to your table. But then if you do not eat your fruit, we take the gift away from you. If you eat the fruit, you can open up the box and you can keep your gift. And these loss versus gain incentives were really effective in a previous study that John List had run with other colleagues, where they looked at the effect of incentives, loss incentives versus gain incentives at increasing grades. So they do some education research. So we tried this with the food. So if you don't finish eating it, you'll have to give the box back to us and you will not get to keep your gift. So in essence, it's the same, because as long as you choose the fruit and you eat it, you get the gift. And if you do not, you do not get the gift, but the way the gift is distributed is different. Finally, we have a short education message. So we showed a big poster with this food pyramid, and we just explained that the food pyramid reminds us to make healthy choices, and eating just one thing will make a big difference, and fruit are on the food pyramid, so fruit are really good. And cookies are not on the food pyramid. So if you want to be healthier, you should be consuming the fruits. And it was really short, so it was just a few minutes long that we explained this to them. So this is going straight to the results. This is our short treatment, and we have all of these education loss, loss incentive, gain incentive, and baseline. We see at baseline that the proportion of children choosing fruit is about 18%. So everyone else is choosing a cookie. When we provide an incentive, it jumps to about 85% choosing fruit. So the incentive is incredibly effective at getting these children to both choose the fruit and consume it. If you look, the education treatment is actually down here. So education did not improve the selection of fruit at all. And we have some long-term follow-up where we don't really see much difference from baseline at the beginning. So we could look at our long sessions as well. So remember, in the long session, they had 5 straight days of treatment. You can see, again, they started about 18% choosing fruit and jump up to 80% of choosing fruit for the duration of the incentive, and then drop down. And we see here there may be some suggestive evidence of habit formation of children choosing more fruit, but it's hard to say because of the sporadic kids coming in sporadically to these sites. So we can look at period 1 versus period 2. Remember, in period 1, everybody received baseline, and in period 2, they received some form of treatment. And so we can compare a baseline visit to the next day, which was a treated visit. We can use both between subject and within subject tests, because for many of the children, we have pre and treated data, but for many others, we can only look across sites. So what we can do then is take a look at period 1 versus period 2, and we find that incentives significantly increase the proportion of children selecting fruit by a staggering amount. So these gain incentives, they go from 18% all the way up to almost 80, same with these loss incentives, and the education plus loss incentive was incredibly effective. You notice that the education component alone, without any of the incentives, was not effective at getting children to select fruit over cookies. And we can also compare the gain versus loss. We actually don't find statistically significant differences between the gain and the loss treatment, so we have the same positive effect of both gain and loss framing here. And education alone did not have a significant effect, but when we paired education with the incentive, we had the strongest effect of all of the other groups. So it's important, though, to look also at consumption, because selection alone can't explain, can't be the final evaluation. So there's not the direct link between the choice of food to consumption. It can't be taken for granted. And actually, Joe just talked about this. 44% of items taken by students are wasted in the school lunchroom. So we also have consumption data. And we have detailed consumption data for 73% of our choices on average at the level of quarters. So we actually had RAs walking around and jotting down what proportion of each item was actually consumed. And what we see here is that the consumption of fruit at baseline, if you selected fruit, is about 83%. So this is kids who already really like fruit. If you selected fruit because of the incentive treatment, your consumption of fruit was quite high as well. So 90 to 96% and 95% in loss incentive plus education. What you'll notice here that's interesting is that for education only, our proportion of fruit consumed was 60%. So even though we didn't increase the children to choose more fruit in education, we actually, those who chose more fruit in education chose to consume even less of it than before at baseline. So we moved kids to choose fruit with education that then did not consume the fruit. And you can see here that cookies, again, the incentive treatments significantly increased the proportion of cookies consumed if you selected cookies, because presumably if you did not get nudged to select fruit through the incentive, you really must love cookies, and therefore you have high consumption. So these types of incentives can decrease the waste that we had. And we have some longer-term effects in that the education plus loss treatment in the 3 post-treatment days actually increased the proportion of fruit selected relative to their baseline. The incentive treatment did not have much of an effect, and the education treatment is just doing very poorly all around. So we find that these incentives are very effective in the short term in increasing both fruit choice and consumption. It's very important, of course, to look at long-term effects as well and to really understand what it is about incentives that are so powerful. And so they also provided a reduction in food waste compared to education alone. Again, important if we want to think about using education to drive behavior change. We want to look at consumption effects as well as selection. And these incentives combined with education had a significant impact in the long term. So we didn't find a rebound effect in that the consumption and selection of fruit went down even lower. We actually had some positives. And finally, this suggests that we could use these behavioral economics types of interventions like incentives to understand what it to understand health production functions and food choice among children, and to design interventions in ways that we can really move behavior for both selection and consumption. And that's it.